Well, again, it's great to be here with you this week. I've told a handful of people, like, our Christmas break, and I still think of it as Christmas break because I'm married to a teacher and I have a 16-year-old who's still in school. So I think of that chunk of time from kind of just before Christmas to after New Year's as Christmas break. It was the longest Christmas break ever. You know, Jan came home from school the last day of her, her last day was a full day, and she came home half day because it turned out she was sick with COVID. So we began our Christmas break with Jan in isolation, quarantined and COVID, and then she wasn't able to come to any of our Christmas Eve celebrations or Christmas morning, and then I came down with influenza A. So she kind of ruined the first half of the time. I ruined the second half of the time. And, you know, it didn't seem like it was ever going to end. I was so happy when, Sophia went back to school, Jan went back to school, and we could say, okay, we'll put all that stuff behind us. So it's really hard to believe that this is the second Sunday already in January. Right? We've gone through 8 days in 2023. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions as a way to mark the newness of the year. They want to improve themselves or change their circumstances. You know, personally, I made the resolution to drive past a gym at least once a day, and you know, so far I'm doing really good. It's been pretty easy to keep that one up. But Jan and I have been doing a devotional together, and on day one or two, It talked about the importance of writing down your goals, and so that you could, at some point reflect back on them and see how you're doing. And so we got done with the devotional time, and Jan sat down dutifully and wrote down all her goals for 2023. And she looked at me and said, "Do you want to know what my goals are?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, that's great." And so she started to list things like this: paint the deck, continue to refinish the hardwood floors, fix the retaining wall, beef up the landscaping. And I thought, wait a second. I said, that sounds like a list of things for me to do. And, you know, she's got this big grin on her face because she really had written a bunch of things for herself and then added those last things on there for me just to make sure she gave me a good poke there at the beginning of the year. But it's a good time for us to think forward. And so with that in mind, let's read our scripture passage this morning, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. This is the Apostle Paul. "Not that I have already attained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Excuse me. Now, Paul is not making a New Year's resolution here in Philippians 3. But what he is doing, he's making this life statement of following after Christ Jesus, who, with all of who he is, right? I press on, he says. He's making the statement of hope and of faith. Now, one of the problems with resolutions, you know, making statements, grand statements like this, is that 99.9% of people who make resolutions have trouble sticking with them. Because life has a way of throwing things our way that sidetrack us from our goals. And Paul even seems to hint at this when he says, you know, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal." I mean, we've all said similar things, right? We've said, "Boy, you know, I missed working out last week," or "I ate way too many cookies." Or, which I said a couple times over Christmas break. I spent more at the bicycle shop than I should have. Just kidding, because you can never spend too much at a bicycle shop. But, you know, we fail to meet the goal that we have set for ourselves, and so we punish ourselves, especially when it involves spiritual issues. Right? We fail at keeping a goal we have set, like, I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to make sure I pray every day. I'm going to do all this. We fail, we fall short, and so then we think that we are a failure. And Satan loves to compound this. He loves to tell us exactly that, how much of a failure we are. You know, we've read John 10:10 a number of times, and it's just a passage worth remembering, the whole passage, the first part of the passage, right? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And the second part, you know, but I have come that they might have life, and it might be full and abundant. But the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Satan just wants to whisper into our ears about, oh, you said you were going to do this, and you couldn't do it. Why, you couldn't even pray 3 days in a row. You will never measure up to everybody else. And then we're kept in chains that keep us from experiencing love and freedom and purpose that comes from having a relationship with Jesus. Right? We want to read and pray every day, but then something happens and we miss a day. We want to give more, but then an unexpected bill comes in the mail and we're not able to. We want to serve more, but then you get sick or somebody you love gets sick. So we begin to think, well, I've failed. I must be a failure. Now, can you imagine, right? So Paul's writing this. Can you imagine the things that Satan must have whispered into Paul's ear? Paul, you stood there as they stoned Stephen. Paul, you didn't just stand there. You held the cloaks of the men who reached down, picked stones up from the earth, and hurled them at Stephen till he died. Paul, you studied God's word your entire life, and you let them kill him. Paul, you went out and arrested Christians, men and women and children, and hauled them off to jail. You, Paul, you. And so this is how Paul addresses those whispers from the enemy, or just the feelings of failure, of self-doubt, and how he encourages us to look forward. He says this, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so here's Paul's instruction for us. Forget it. Forget the past. Forget what's behind you. It sounds easy enough. Very easy to say, forget about it, but it's a completely different thing to actually go about doing it. And Jan will often tell me how good my memory is, you know, as we talk about the past, remembering, you know, something about Sophia or some adventure we went on, and I remember, you know, share what I remember about that, what people said, what we were doing and whatnot. And she says, wow, you have such a good memory. You know, the problem with having a memory is just that, right? We remember. And we remember not only the good things. We remember the things that were done or said that hurt us. We remember past angers and hurts. But Paul simply says, forget about it. Forget about it. And the Greek word being used here is epiphileano. And it's a compound word, right? And so the first part, the first word, epi, is a word that means a turning, right? You know, where you literally, you turn away from. And since I can't preach that way, you know, it's not a 360 degree, it's 180, right? You turn away and you focus on something else. And the second of the two compound words, lethano, means to describe something that is finished, something that is done, something that is obsolete. And so when you put the two words together, it portrays the idea of something that you should turn away and forget because it has no longer any bearing about what's going on right now. It denotes something that may have been true at some point in the past, but is now no longer applicable. And as devotional writer, pastor, and Greek scholar Rick Renner paraphrases this word, he paraphrases it this way. He says, it means stop thinking about it, put it out of your mind, put it behind you, wipe it out, erase it from your memory. Get it out of your system. Quit paying attention to it. Get your eyes off it. Be oblivious to it and forget it. And Paul then continues to explain why we ought to forget it, right? Because this stuff is behind us. Your past sins and failures are just that. They are past. In fact, Paul uses this word apizo here, which describes something that is completely obsolete and should be permanently relegated to the back or to the past. Forget about it. Now think about it. One of the people who Paul was talking to when he wrote this letter of Philippians to the Philippian church was the Philippian jailer. You know, Acts chapter 16, we read about how Paul and Silas were thrown into prison in Philippi. Now, prisons at this point were not the warm and fuzzy places that they are today. They were cold and damp. There was little to no food unless you had somebody bringing it in for you. You were chained to other people 24 hours a day. We don't know how the jailer treated Paul and Silas. He may have been a good guy, may have been a bad guy. Paul was ordered to be flogged at one point, and the jailer could have been responsible for flogging Paul. All what we do know is that at some point when Paul and Silas were in chains and jail, there was an earthquake, and the doors must have been flung open. The jailer comes in and doesn't see anybody initially, and so is about ready to take his life. And Paul speaks up and he says, don't do it. We're still here. We're still here. This man had seen Paul and Silas singing and praising God, and this occurred, and so he cries out, what must I do to be saved? You know, perhaps what he was saying to Paul was, you know, how can I be different from my past? How can I forget all of the things that I've done? How can I be different now going forward? So after Paul shares the gospel of Christ with him, Scripture records that this man was saved and his entire family was saved. And they were all baptized. And now this guy is sitting in a church listening to a letter written by the guy he was a jailer for. Imagine there could have been some doubts that crept back into this guy's mind, reminding him of who he used to be. So here's Paul's response, right? Forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. Forget what's behind and strain towards what is ahead. Because now it's a time to put in a little bit of sweat equity. Now, if you don't know what sweat equity is a person's contribution towards some sort of venture or some other project. Sweat equity generally isn't monetary, and in most cases comes in the form of physical labor, of mental effort, and time. You know, I really came to understand the idea of sweat equity when we had to buy a house in 2013, right? Because when you buy a house, that is just the beginning. There's always some other project waiting to be done. And, you know, you don't keep up your house simply by cleaning it. There are things you have to do for it, right? You can improve the landscaping. You can put in new windows. It might be getting rid of that 1970s green shag carpet and redoing the hardwood floors that are underneath it. Now, for each and every one of us, forgetting the past, although very difficult, is really the easy part. It costs us nothing. right? Christ has already died on the cross for us. Christ has paid the price of our sins. Christ is the one that bought us back from sin and death. Right? Jesus not only paid the down payment, but he has paid every payment since. Our sin has been paid for, and so why would we continue to remember it? Right? It is finished. So here comes our part. Here comes the sweat equity part, right? Paul says we have to strain towards what is ahead, right? We have to strain towards what is ahead. And the image that Paul's using here is the image of a foot race. It portrays the mental image of a runner who's running, right, with all of their might, straining towards the finish line. Now, I love this picture here of Usain Bolt, right? If you don't know who Usain Bolt is, he is like the fastest man on earth. This guy, when you see him in the Olympics or in any kind of running competition, is just amazing. He is like a missile. He's a rocket. In fact, I mean, this picture, what I love about it, in the midst of running the race, he takes the time to turn and mug for the camera, right? Like, he's not running a race. He's just like, hey, this is a photo shot, you know? He's unbeatable. Fastest man alive. Now, take a look at these other guys who are running against Usain Bolt. And I'm sure each and every one of them knows that they have zero chance at actually beating him. But they're running the race. Their goal is to get to the finish line. They long for the prize. Now, church, this is a great description of who we are, right? Now, we're not in competition with each other. The race that we are called to win is together, right? We are running it together. And each and every one of us can be given the victor's crown as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus. Right? God inspired Paul to write these words, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to win the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, can we in 2023 stop looking backwards? Can we remember that our past sin, our past failures have been paid for by the blood of Christ? And it does us nothing at all to look backwards. We gain absolutely nothing. In fact, if you're running a race, if you're running, and you look backwards, you're going to trip, you're going to fall, you're not going to run the way that you're supposed to. We are called to strain forward. And so let us decide by the power of the Holy Spirit that we will no longer be defined by who we once were. We will no longer be defined by how many resolutions we keep. We are going to place all of that behind us because we are too busy straining forward for what God has in mind for us. We will be too busy running to the people that God wants us to impact. We will be too busy being the church that helps bring revival to Beaver County. So let's go. Stop looking back, look forward, and run the race. Let's go. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for your words to us and a reminder to put the past in the past. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness that is complete. Thank you that we are not judged by the beginning of our story, but rather what we have done with your Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we forget the past, help us to strain forward towards the future. Help us to long to be exactly where you want us to be. And Jesus, we pray that you would use us. We pray that you would use Concord for your glory. We pray all this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. I was reflecting upon that picture of Usain Bolt running, being followed by the other runners, and I haven't given a tremendous amount of thought, and so I hopefully it's a theologically sound illustration. But you know, Jesus is the one we are following, right? He is running the race that is being set out before us, and we keep our eyes on Jesus. Right? If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're not going to go to the right. We're not going to go to the left. We're not going to get lost. Right? We will know the way and the truth and the life because Jesus leads us to the Father. And so let's run. Let's be the church. Let's be the people God has called us to be and follow Jesus into the world. Wherever he may go, let us follow after him. Let us pray. Lord God, again, we are grateful for your example. We are grateful for your presence. And so, Lord, we pray that as we forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead, Jesus, that we would follow you, that we would follow you in this race that you have set before us. Use us, use our church for your glory. We pray all this, Jesus, in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. We'll see you again next week. You know, this is a 3-week sermon series. Next week, we're going to be talking about remembering God's heart.